The Tigers are premiers for the 12th time in their history. Rioli, this time, 4, 3, 2, 1, it's a goal! One of the Tigers! Whoa, what about that? A 4-3-60 in slow motion, just down your marks!
Oh, gee whiz.
He's had four shots on goal, and that was his worst.
Big arm takes the mark, and it's all too much for Leon.
Well, he's an accurate set shot, the big fella. 4 out of 5 so far this year.
Make it 5 out of 6. The skipper goes and goes, and then tries to lace it out, but no, he doesn't. He kicks a goal. How sweet it is, eh?
Pickett lines up.
Going off everywhere at the moment. Pickett's having an influence in his first game of footy.
Started with him.
Yep. Dusty's dangerous. The swarming pressure is overwhelming.
Didn't want the body contact. He kept the body free. The pickup's unbelievable. That's a play of the game. That is the play of the game.
We underestimate the footy brain in Dustin Martin. You look at his physical ability. That champion data would tell us 7 out of the last 9 finals he can make the case for being best on ground.
I think they were a better team last year than they are now.
And welcome back to some special bonus content with a special bonus guest. Ollie, welcome to the show.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me. My, what is it, second time on? Do I get recurring guest status?
Actually, mate, I think it's your third time. I was thinking about this the other day that Richmond raconteur and Bushfooty legend, you've managed to appear on the pod 3 times, which I think is the most of any guest.
Well,
good. I'm surprised I've been back.
And you did appear on the post 2017 grand final show, which is close to our most popular show ever. So clearly, there must be some correlation there.
Yeah, and I'm
more sober than I was.
I feel it's a bit like the WWE. Whenever they have a drop in ratings, they bring back The Rock or some other, or the Hulk Hogan or some other famous superstar. So that's what we're doing with you. We're not really integrating you into the core part of the pod, but we're just trying to get a cheap pop from the crowd to have you on for an episode.
Yeah,
so that's all I've got. That's all I'm needed for.
Just drop the stunner and walk off, mate.
So the idea, look, everyone's missing football. Everyone's missing. Well, I'm particularly missing Richmond in my life, and the complete absence of news. But we thought we'd get people together and talk about what 5 things that they're missing from Richmond players at the moment. Ollie, do you want to kick us off?
So, I am happy to. I think I might split this with someone else. There'll be a fair bit of pinching going on, but I've got Tom Lynch splitting a pack and sending bodies in all directions. It's something
a good one.
My favourite thing about it is you can see it coming. And then just him, and half the time he doesn't even mark it, but he just causes absolute carnage, and he doesn't even seem to inflict any damage on him at all.
Okay, so I had a Tom Lynch one as well, and it was going to be my last one. I was going to save it because it's coming in pretty hot. And, you know, part of the thing is what we're talking about, what we're missing, and so it's something we can look forward to. You know, the splitting the pack, I reckon that mark again in the Geelong final where he got the free kick and took the mark against 2 people is sort of the all-time, well, definitely the most alpha male dominance mark since, Richo. I just like think one of the things I enjoy about Tom Lynch is, and you can see it in Comrades Marshall book, where he talks about Tom Lynch brushing the hair out of his eyes, about how he sort of inflames all these homoerotic tendencies in men who otherwise consider themselves heterosexual.
Yeah, we're all a little bit less straight around Tom Lynch.
Yeah. Because let's face it.
Tom Lynch marked up. Puts me in. I've got a 20-minute rant on umpires that pay free kicks when someone takes an awesome contested mark in me. So maybe we'll save that for another pod. Yeah. The umpire pays a free kick on that, which just drives me insane.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a free kick, but the point was he's so good he took it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So, and just pay the contested mark. That's a better stat.
So I want to come in with a serious one to start with. Well, actually, Nick, I've already blown one of mine, so it's your turn.
All right. Well, I liked the specific split second just as Shea Bolton gets the ball and the fact that you don't know what's going to happen next. That almost anything can happen and maybe something that you haven't seen before. Just that perfect moment of anticipation. Yeah,
I like that. And it makes me think of round one where he just looked so, I know you guys already talked about it, but he just looked so much calmer and we've been robbed of that. Like,
yeah.
It didn't seem as erratic. There seemed to be more thought in what he was doing. But I know completely what you mean.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun to watch.
All right. Do you want to do your second one?
Yep. All right. So this is a strange one, but getting annoyed at George ending up on the end of a great chain of possession. So the amount of times when I'm just like, I'm just like elite, incredible handball, and I'm just like, yes, no, my George. Like, and he just, because he gets in the right spots, he always ends up on the end of it. And I miss that. I'm so spoiled now that I can get annoyed about a marking.
I really miss George because
who knows what's going to happen. Oh, yeah.
Because, exactly, you never know what's going to happen. And, there are the moments of genuine brilliance, you know. Like, sure, he misses a lot of shots for goals, like sort of one of the worst shots for goal of the frequent goal kickers in the AFL. But, you know, we still have that Geelong final where he was our everything for a while. And his ability, even when he's missing shots, to do, you know, one super athletic chase or, there's always, you never, it's like a hark back to the old Richmond where you had a lot of sort of misfit toys that you weren't quite sure what they were going to do next. You know, there's a little bit of the Richos to him in a way that, you know, chaos happens.
He was in our centre half forward for our premiership. Like, he was essentially our centre half forward. We've replaced him with Tom Lynch and we still had the same result. So I suppose it's a good shout for George.
Exactly.
Imagine how differently we'd feel about him if he kicked five behinds in a game we lost by a goal. I'm not sure I could cope with him being on the team ever again.
Well, it depends whether it was a final or not. I think if it was a final, then it'll be more trouble. I have a quick one. This is the straightest one I've got. Is I miss watching Rioli chase really, really hard and fast.
Yeah. Fantastic. And the crowd noise building, because we can all see what the poor sap trying to keep the ball current, and then that making them turn their head.
Yeah, like running down Sard at the end of Dreamtime last year.
Oh, good time. Fantastic.
God.
My next one's a super obvious one, but I just, because I've mentioned it 100 times, but I love when Dusty goes to the goal square. I loved it in the grand final so much when he was just pacing in the square like a panther or something, like just that sense of menace. God.
Just dragging some poor unsuspecting like halfback flanker down to the forward 50 by himself.
Who was it? And he's a really good player. Said that
who was Adelaide.
Sorry,
you go, sorry.
I was just saying that there was a really good opposition player. I can't remember who it was who said that. You know, in the midfield, it just looks like Dusty, but when you're one out with him in the goal story and he runs towards you, he looks like he's 6'5" tall and, you know, weighs 120 kilos. He just becomes more intimidating the closer to goal he is.
Yeah.
Just makes people panic.
Yeah, well, I mean, the classic goal being the one in the grand final where the BT call, like, he cured cancer because he waited out the back because the GWS player panicked and ran under it. But does that GWS...
He didn't want that contest.
Yes, he didn't want the contest. But does that GWS player run under the ball if it's not Dusty? Probably not.
No. Mm. And then the 2017, like, I can't remember his name. Real big, solid...
Luke Brown.
No, is it Hardigan?
Hardigan's the big one, yeah. Luke Brown was one. He was one out just before half-time.
That's right, just before half-time, yeah. Big clearance straight to him. That just looked like you could just see what was happening. I just like that when I could expand on Dusty going forward is that all the other players, like, oh, yep. Like, back. You know, he's got a little, he's got a mouse in the house. He's going to take him down, down the post. All the other players just clear out, just leave this poor little nervous child in the goal square by themselves.
All right, you're up, Wally.
The way a player's soul dies when they fall over after Dustin Martin stiff arms them. So, like, this, obviously everyone knows the one in the qualifying final in 2017, when he pushes old mate over on the wing and the crowd goes absolutely crazy. There's actual, I remember I saw it on YouTube, there's footage where you can see him just look up as Dusty's just tearing off down the centre wing, and just the look on the player's face. This is just absolutely beautiful. And you can just see it every single time he just embarrasses someone, because these people have grown up their whole life being the strongest person they know, and they just get embarrassed in front of, you know, 70,000 people, and it's beautiful to watch.
And not only that, do they know, not only do they just get embarrassed, but they know they've just let the worst player on the opposition team, the one that they're on the whiteboard is saying, do not let this guy get an uncontested kick into the forward line. They've just let the most dangerous player off the hook, and he's probably about to set up a goal, and they're going to be posterized by it because he'll be on the highlight reel, that night.
Absolutely.
All right.
Andy?
I'm going to go a little bit off track here. So one of the things I'm looking forward to is getting irrationally angry at our two-time premiership coach for a minor positional move or selection that is, I perceive to be overly defensive.
Oh, it's hard to spoil.
You know, it's like we often, like we do our pocket, like the amount of tweets I've almost sent and deleted about umpiring decisions or Dimmer's a move that Dimmer does. I'm glad that I have that last bit of self control. But yes, and you know, it's only when I'm really really annoyed do I carry it through to the pod. But yeah, on game day, there's probably you've got
the pressure. Keep going, sorry.
No, it's just like, there's always a couple of moments. And like, even at the preseason game this year in, Wangaratta, when, he was playing broad on the wing, I was just, oh, bloody Dimmer. He always moving some defender into the midfield or the forward line where he's got no tricks. There was a reason why he wasn't a midfielder or a forward as a junior. Don't do it, Dimmer. And I was sort of quietly huffing and puffing, annoyed. And like, this is the bloke who, like, 5 months before won was the premiership, but you know, I'm looking forward to being
in. What has he done though? What have you done for me lately though? You've been knocking
We're losing at Wangaratta.
Four cans deep on the hill, just using broad to paint on the wood.
Yeah, so I miss the simple pleasure of thinking that you know better than someone who clearly knows far more about the decision than you do.
Yeah. Well, my next one, again, I think it's an obvious one, but it's when Sydney Stack flashes from about 20 minutes. Meters away and hits a contest super hard. I just love that.
And just 100% commitment too. Like, he's taking player, ball, umpire, someone in the crowd, like, just whoever's in his way. It's fantastic. Oh, God, I miss watching. This is going to make me sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you see the write-up of Sydney Stack? Someone was writing up, the Herald, the Hun did a piece on him, and one of their journalists, was the Hun or the Age? And they just wrote it. Someone promoting the piece said, oh, Sydney Stack, he'll never be a star, but he's a really interesting story. It's like, no, I haven't conceded that at all, that Sydney Stack won't be a star.
No, not at all. Champion Daddy wet themselves in his profile.
He's like, got everything you would need to be a star. Like, I don't think there's a potential temperament might be an issue, but like, other than that, I don't know what else you'd want from someone who's played that little senior footy.
Yeah,
anyway, they probably got more clicks than saying something positive.
Yeah, I don't know, but anyway, he checked up long with that, made that relationship with Monique Conti last, because I think it's a good influence on both of them.
Yeah,
I do. It makes me wince though when teenagers get tattoos of each other.
Is that what they've done?
That's no.
I'm out of it. I don't know. Like an old man, they've got tats of it. Okay, that's never a bad idea. That never never blows up anyone's face. That kids, if you're listening, get tattoos early. All right, I'll go. This is a bit of a strange one, but it'll make you think of the 2017 qualifying final against the Cats. The crowd noise building when we ratchet up the pressure. So when there's just contested possession after contested possession of like hurried kick, hurried kick that leads to on the full or even a ball up, just the like venomous vitriol that builds in the crowd is just one of those fun things that going to a game. And I assume that's just as good on the TV as well. Like it's just so enjoyable to be a part of.
Yeah. And Richmond supporters, they need to, we need to remember all those dark times and draw on them, that sort of, that suppressed rage and resentment that we have from all those years in the darkness. And, you know, you can hear that sometimes when the pressure's dealing. Yeah. Because, you know, we suffered for these moments of glory. So, you know, we need to still draw on that to get that atmosphere going at the MCG.
You got to go back into a dark, like, you know, 2016 elimination final place and then just draw on that and start screaming at Cameron Guthrie.
Yeah. So let's never forget the 2017 Geelong final, the feel between the smug, arrogant supporters and the supporters that were hungry and really wanted it. And, you know, who knows whether you got the same result on an empty pitch, but I think the game plan did perfectly suit the crowd reaction.
Yeah.
I think it has to. It does, yeah. It plays into the whole, like, hunting in packs sort of mantra that Dimmer's drilled into them. And people feed off that, and they absolutely love it. And you can just... it's just something good. Because there's a moment in regular season, most of the time, actually ending grand finals, funnily enough, when the other team cracks, and it is generally after something like that. When we've just smashed them, like, five or six tackles in a row, and they just panic, boot the ball on the floor, and they're just like, blood, this is too hard. Is this what it's going to be like? These guys don't let up. And they just break, and then it's game over. Then we get to do all the fun stuff afterwards, like the Rioli goals and stuff like that, but it all starts with that chaotic pressure.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I had two Dimmer points, and my second one is the Dimmer press conference. And one of my favourite things about the Dimmer press conference is sort of, he's a really nice person. Aside from that one thing where he sold out Jack a bit, he's generally great in his press conference. He's really magnanimous. And particularly early on, he was really calm even when he'd lost. He was very measured, you know, wasn't too negative, never blamed the umpires. But as Dimmer has got later and later in his coaching career, he casts more and more shade on the umpires. After the Carlton game, Nick, you're not going to like this, but, you know, like after the Carlton game, he was visibly really annoyed at the umpires and made that very clear. He sort of sailed as close to the getting final.
He comments by not commenting on it.
Yeah. And very clearly, like he talks about it for quite a while and this, I'm not going to talk about this.
I always discuss how shit the umpires were. I'm sorry. I won't discuss.
just you watch the tape and make your own judgment about how shit the umpires were.
Go back through those last 10 awful decisions and you tell me how bad they were.
Yeah, and okay,
I'm not going to discuss it.
I'm enjoying Dimmer's late career, Dimmer's increasing saltiness in press conferences. And nothing like to sorry positive thing. I always learn something from most of his press conferences, and not every AFL coach is like that. So,
and look, on a scale of one to Chris Scott, he's still barely a three.
No, well, Chris Scott's different because he deflects a lot of blame. He often blames his players subtly. And like he does extended whinges, whereas Dimmer sort of like he'll deliver a rapier, shade throw on the umpires, but then he'll move on. And what he never ever doesn't do is he always gives full credit to the opposition, whereas Chris Scott habitually doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, basically every Geelong game they lose because their players don't execute the game plan well enough.
Yeah. His vision. My next one, I miss when you get a new player and you see something that you haven't seen before. Like if it's Thompson Dow doing a sidestep or a big mark from Callum Coleman-Jones. Seeing them do something at senior football that you haven't seen before. I love that. As someone who spends far too much time thinking about the draft, like seeing guys translate junior form onto seniors, I just love it.
I imagine it would have been so much more beneficial for you guys who, like, the first time I hear about any of these guys, man, and just on your podcast when you generally nail the pick. And then when they get picked, so I'm like, oh, I didn't know he could do that. It's just, oh, cool, that's what he does. So like for me, when we see someone do that, I'm like, oh, cool, that just must be what they like. But for you guys who have seen them actually play beforehand, it must be so gratifying to be like, oh, wow, they've improved.
Except for when you get the Liam McBean situation and you've seen them do these things at juniors and reserves level, and then it just doesn't translate at all in seniors. Breaks your heart.
Yeah. I must admit, I'm slightly worried I've bought too much land on CCJ Island. I think I'm at least a 60% owner of the island. And, I like CCJ. But I think maybe a 40%. I think I got my portfolio way more.
90% of it between.
Yeah, I'm pretty keen. Wait,
you got in early. You got in real early with that land. You got it cheap. It's pretty expensive at the moment.
It's true. It became a pre-season favourite. You know, the Andrew Slomans of the world got in on it, and you know that once the big financiers get involved like him, changes the market.
Once the big swinging people come in and they start taking notice down Spring Street, then the land starts getting more and more expensive. Yeah, slowly. I've actually been writing them down as I'm doing this. I've been having too much fun. I'll just say, I think everyone can appreciate this. Shane Edwards' hands. Watching, as I want to do, because I'm a loser, watching, actually I'm probably amongst my people here, watching just old highlights of just like, couldn't pick a better crowd really, watching old highlights of just absolutely everything. And even, like, not necessarily his hands, just watching him play. Like, there's that goal against Essendon last year, I want to say, where he toe flicks the ball off the ground up to Caddy and Caddy slots on the run. From the top. Like, he meant every bit of that. He means everything he does. And to finally watch him sort of get the recognition he deserves, and like, instead of him being like, you know, when our old players would retire, but like, oh, he was here. You get to say stuff like two-time premiership player, maybe three, you never know, whoever, who knows. Like, it's just so beneficial to be able to say that sort of stuff. And yeah, just.
Yeah, so just quickly, like, you think, like, most of, he would be in what, the top eight most important players in our two-time premierships?
Yep.
See? Oh, sure, absolutely. Especially in finals. Do you watch the links, that every link type goal, like all of them we have, he's in it. He's always in it, whether it's a handball or one of his funky little kicking style or whatever. He's always involved, and he starts or is in the middle of everything.
And a Western Bulldogs recruiter last year said they didn't look into Sydney Stack, or they decided not to recruit Sydney Stack because they didn't have strong Indigenous leadership at their club. And I reckon Shane Edwards is a big part of why we have strong Indigenous leadership.
Yeah. You know, I wasn't even sure that we knew he was Indigenous when we drafted him.
No, I don't think, I don't think he knew.
I think that was part of the, I'm going to stop. I'm not even going to pronounce the name, I'll butcher it, but like the Institute, KGI Institute.
Yeah.
Wasn't that part of it? Didn't they have a big video about how he discovered the tribe?
I will say about Edwards in, on field, like the, you know, there are some people who just watch footy. They go to the game, they enjoy the game, they make the judgments on that, and then they don't look at any more of the sort of the advanced stats, or they watch the tape. And if those people took longer to realize how good Cheddar was, because some of what he does is so subtle. That kick, for instance, you talked about, you have to watch the replay to really see how brilliant that is.
You miss it, but yeah, you watch it live.
Yeah, I was at that game. I actually did miss it live, and then I did see it on the big screen on the replay, and then I was like, oh my God, that was amazing. There was one thing years ago he did in his first couple of years where he hand passed over his head perfectly to a player to set up a goal, and he couldn't have even seen the player, and it was just, and he just hit him perfectly, and it was at that moment I went, wow, you know, this, he's got something incredible. So
I'm fully convinced he knows what he's doing when he does this, but he when players lean back on a kick, it generally means that that's what you do when you're kicking it a long way. So, like, his kick to Grigg in the 2017 grand final, he leans right back on it, but he stabs it, which is borderline possible to do. And you can watch Adelaide defenders. As soon as he leans back, they all backtrack, and then Grigg's just left standing there by himself. Like, he just does all these little things like that. I just love him.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that tactic too. No, it wouldn't have never have occurred to me in a million years to do that. So I've got one left, and it's quite self-indulgent, but I'm looking forward to coming on this podcast and pretending that adequate ruck play is more important than Dustin Martin's best on ground performance. So yeah, look, I get so, like, when a Geelong player concussed himself on Soldo's chest last year in the final, I got so excited, and I get so excited by like competent ruck work, because we haven't had that much of it, and
I can just picture you as Dusty's running off for a goal. You're like, yeah, but what about that tap? You're screaming at
and sure, Dusty's had the last three score involvements and just kicked that goal from 60, but did you see that poor defensive run before? Soldo, on the other hand, has been covering the whole time.
Do we talk enough about when he socketed the ball out of the air from a ruck contest through for a goal? I don't think we do.
The Soldinho moment?
No, absolutely don't.
The thing is, it's not really replicable. Like, if you want to go full stat nerd, my fantasy is that Soldo turns into Max Gorn, which is obviously unrealistic.
The other problem with it, it's in that sort of dead pocket at the MCG, whereas I think if they had a better camera angle on it.
Oh, that's true.
To see how hard it is. Like,
yeah.
And it should have been.
It's not replicable.
It would have been nice. I wish it was at the punt right end.
Don't enjoy it. You couldn't do that again if you tried.
That's all right. I do think he's sneaky skillful, but I am at least self-aware that I completely overrate certain performances on the ground relative to others. I think, is that it? Do any of us have any others?
My last... Oh, I've got one more, and I love it when Dylan Grimes is too big, too fast, too agile, and just dominates, like the Charlie Cameron matchup. Just, he took his soul across those
two games. He spent a week crying to the press.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. Now I'm back in a good mood. I've literally written Grimes being Grimes. That's the extent of my notes of written. Yeah, just, and he just looks, and he is as well, like a nice next door neighbor. Like, he doesn't, it's a bit like Joe Ingles dominating people in the NBA. Like, you don't look at him and just expect him to be as quick and big and strong and savage as he is, but he's incredible.
They do look a bit separated at birth, don't they?
Yeah, it's a little bit about that.
Yeah, so a little bit of bonus content. You actually got married at his winery, didn't you?
I did. And he won't listen to this, but my brother absolutely embarrassed himself trying to talk to poor Dylan. and we were setting up the wedding the day before. So that was fantastic. I think his voice broke like he was 13, even though he was probably 33 at the time. So yeah, we kind of kept it under wraps that we were crazy, Richmond supporters, and there's five Noonans out building a dance floor. And then Billy let it slip, and yeah, it was hilarious. Oh, he's absolutely ripping book.
I'm sure he gets it a lot.
He would. And I'm pretty sure there's a fair few people who got married there that are top.
Yeah. I've actually met...
You very much helped me. You go, sorry, Andy, you go?
You know you go, man.
So you've helped me there, because I had Grimes being Grimes. I'll be sneaky. I'll just say Jaden Short kicking, because I wrote down Shane Edwards handball and Jaden Short kicking. I love people who kick off both feet. This is very cheesy, and I hated it when it came out, and I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of the people listening hate it, but the drums before they run out, I've now got like this Pavlovian response to hearing that drum beat. If I hear Black Skinhead or that drum beat, like, oh my God, it's Tiger Time. Like, it's just, when it came out, I was like, it's cheesy, but now you hear it, because you'll be talking amongst yourself in the crowd, and then you hear the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, and you're like, oh, it's go time. Like, and yeah. it sort of like gets you into Tiger time.
No, actually, I agree with your basic point, but it sort of, if you look at it from a broader perspective, there's nothing I hate more than stadium music, because I think it suppresses crowd and it makes it about the stadium marketing.
Middle age is suiting you so well.
I know. Look, I know it's a grumpy old man thing, but the drums means that they can't play stadium music.
Like
the drums are inorganic. Like, I've got no problem against, like, the Barmy Army or
people. Unless they're two evils for you.
No, it's totally, I love it. Like, I love college football and I love the bands. Like, I love music that's produced live in the stadium. I hate canned music. So I actually like the drums, cause it's sort of, it's become an organic thing and it's sort of, it's part of the build up and it means they can't play some generic rock song or an ad. So yeah, I really like it.
Mm. When you mentioned Jaden Short, I'm going to have a bonus one as well. I love, after he's, got a handball and kicked a goal, when the opposition players look at each other like accusing what he's saying, who had him. Yeah, that's great.
The Collingwood game.
Oh, I was about to say, and he did it again in Wangaratta. Like, did you watch the game? Yeah. That once again, Collingwood failed to man up on Jaden Short. Goal.
Yeah.
And took a photo of him kicking on his left foot and his right foot, you would not be able to tell the difference where what he kicks with. He's It's so balanced. Mm. Apart from
yep.
yeah, one shocking final from memory, but other than that, he's just been absolutely amazing. Mm.
Good times.
Well, gentlemen, we've gone 30 minutes, so
yeah. We've done well. So I think it's clear that we miss football a lot.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, and we barely even mentioned two-thirds of the team. So
yeah, we didn't even mention Caddy trash talking little plebs like Brian Myers.
I know.
Yeah, I'll look at all. Or
Bash's beard. I miss Bash's beard.
I really miss Dion Prestia. I've just, because I've come to him late, because, you know, I wasn't impressed with his early play.
You spent so long dissing him that you're now, yeah.
I'm overcompensating. I just love him. Yeah. And yeah. I have loved Lambert from the moment he played a preseason game for us, and I really miss him as a footballer, because he's one of those guys you just know. Whatever football talent God gave him, he's just scraped that. He's scraping the paint off the ceiling of how much talent he naturally has.
He would be drafted by the Patriots if we're doing NFL. Like, he is a little
Well, we do have to.
Bill Belichick would absolutely love him.
Well, we do have to. The Colts don't have a first round pick, do we? Do we have any bonus NFL material? Your thoughts about the NFL draft?
We can just make everyone drop off. Often talk about the draft for the next 20 minutes. Jordan Love, sneak through to pick 34, and I'll be happy.
Oh,
okay. Get a quarterback.
Inaccurate quarterbacks transition really badly the NFL.
On that auspicious note. I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
I'm Ollie.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
The Tigers are premiers for the 12th time in their history. The Ollie, this time, 4, 3, 2, 1, it's a goal! What of the Tigers! Whoa, what about that? A 4-3-60 in slow motion, just down your ass!
Oh, jeez. He's had four shots on goal, and that was his worst.
Big arm takes the mark, it's all too much for Leon.
Oh, he's an accurate set shot, the big fella. 4 out of 5 so far this year.
Out of 6. The skipper goes and goes and then tries to lace it out, but no, he doesn't. He kicks a goal. How sweet it is, eh? Pickett lines up.
There are alarm bells going off everywhere at the moment. Pickett's having an influence in his first game of footy. Started with him.
Yep.
Dusty's dangerous. The swarming pressure is overwhelming.
Didn't want the body contact. He kept the body free. The pickup's unbelievable. That's a play of the game. That is a play of the game.
We underestimate the footy brain in Dustin Martin. You look at his physical ability. That champion data would tell us 7 out of the last 9 finals, you can make the case for being best on ground. Fight and win for we're from Tigerland. We
We never weep until the pile of sirens gone. Like the tiger of old, the strong and ribald, for we're from Tiger, yellow and black, we're from Tigerland.
And I think they were a better team last year than they are now.